Good morning, everybody. We're going to start out with some prayer. Father, we thank you for everything that you have already done. We thank you that you have accepted our worship, and that brings a delight to your heart. We thank you, Father, that our hearts are completely open to receive everything that you would have for us to learn today. We thank you, Father, for the angels that already walk throughout your sanctuary to minister to your people. And Father, we thank you that the warring angels are sent out to stop any attack of the enemy that would try to stop your word from coming forth. And Father, we give you all honor and all glory. Holy Spirit, we ask you to continue to stay in our presence. And we thank you, Father, for everything that you're going to do today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today we're going to discuss a topic that all of us have at one time or another been afflicted by, and this is inflammation. But more detailed of the inflammation of the intestine. We are going to take a look at these both physically and spiritually. Inflammation has said to be many issues in the body, but I have to say I do not agree. I'd have to say that I agree that it is one of the biggest flags or symptoms out there that is a link to many physical problems to the fleshly body. Inflammation is not the root of the problem. It is a symptom of the problem, in most cases a protection from a bigger problem. In this day and time, many people have suffered from the inflammation of the intestines. Because of this, many disease and infections have been named and discovered. Unfortunately, have said there is no cure for the inflammation of the intestines, just prevention or containment. There is a reason to believe that it is because they are only looking at this issue with only one piece of the picture, wanting to believe that it is the whole picture and wondering why things are not working to fix it. We have previously watched here at this church, and some of us further follows the revelation that God has blessed Katie Souza with, and have learned how many sicknesses and problems have come because of souls in our wounds. Along with this teaching, we have also studied exorcism deliverance ministers such as Bob Larson and Jay Bartlett, to name a few, that it goes into deeper depths of the demonic side of this. We also experience it has been done here in sessions where not only God removes the spirits, cleanses and repairs the soul, but also puts into balance what has been thrown off by the afflictions of the body. Due to experiencing this for others as well as myself, God has led us to some awesome information that will show us the areas that have been neglected and better results can now be manifested. Demons have been a part of the infirmities that we have suffered and can be the reason it is blocked. They have come in through soul wounds from sin, generational line, trauma, and through marital inheritance, and so on. Through these soul wounds, no matter how they got there, demons have attached themselves to it by using these things as legal rights. Through multiple teachings in this church alone, we have heard and should have digested by now much knowledge that has come to us, being able to recognize these things and use them for ourselves as well as for others. There have been information on sin, curses, situation, circumstance, generational attachments, witchcraft attachments, and so on, that can cause these things to take place. We have learned how to address them, and remove the attacks and the assignments that go along with them. But how many of these tools and knowledge are we using and that we have been given and use them correctly? Some of what you will be learning will be a refresher and a review and may spark a release inside of you to give you the healing that you may need or for someone you are believing for. Unfortunately, what seems to take place is that many people are not experiencing a full release of their healing because something is missing somewhere. They have lost their ambition to fight, want someone else to do the fighting. And some have even become hopeless, thinking, what is the use due to all the other attacks that come along with it? Sickness is something that spreads. It becomes very infectious, and that is why the enemy uses all kinds of things to try to put it in your body. Through this, may your eyes be open and to some of what is taking place, so that the deception can be destroyed and the truth brought out, and God's healing can take place. We are going to take a deeper look into this and see how we can be effective receivers of God's healing and be able to give it to others by using his word and his knowledge he has given us and equipped us with. We are going to target inflammation, especially inflammation of the intestines, and what is really going on in the physical, and also how to find freedom and healing from it in the spiritual, and watching other things being removed as well. What is inflammation and what is its purpose? We have to understand sometimes we may not be getting our healing because we don't understand what it is that we're even asking a healing from. Inflammation is when your body detects that there is an infection in your body and your brain sends a signal to your blood, specifically your white blood cells, and cause them to do their job by sending substance to that is necessary to protect the area from the infection so it cannot harm any more than where it is, and from the infections from foreign organisms such as bacteria and viruses. So you can see that inflammation is actually a good thing. If we would understand it, then you'd be able to look beyond what we are being programmed to believe and see the truth and get freedoms from the result. Many times we find ourselves in a situation where we are treating the inflammation instead of the real root of the problem. An issue of not understanding the root, it makes it harder to pray effectively and could actually be treating the infection or disease in a non-productive manner because we're going about it all wrong. Let's take an instance of a child who always lies. Yes, lies are the final product of an issue that stems from a root of a problem. You have to look at why does the child lie? What is the main purpose of the lie? A child who has a root of fear, whether rightfully so or not, will lie to avoid the consequence. It doesn't change what they have done or remove the fear, but even for a brief moment, the lie protects them from what time will eventually bring into discovering. The lie is not a good thing, but to the child is the best reinforcement of protection, of having what they've done not be discovered, or in other words, keeping the root of the problem hidden. Also look at a very small cut on your hand. If it is not treated, it can get infected. To show it is infected, it becomes swollen and inflammation occurs because a signal has been sent to the right channels that there is a problem. If you're going after the inflammation, you're ignoring the fact that the cut has become neglected and harmful results can take place because of the negligence of the root of the problem, which started by a very small cut. If it is not investigated, there could be something lodged into it and cause even more issues. We can use this same thing when it comes to soul wounds. Our soul gets wounded by an event and it is cut. We suffer some inflammation spiritually because it manifests in many different ways. If we do not treat it properly, we may leave something behind, such as demons, and then the wound never really heals. So what is the main reason for inflammation manifestations of any sort? The reason is that a trigger or signal being sent to the brain that something is wrong with the body, such as an infection. It is an autopilot response that the body goes into release the white blood cells to do their job to protect the body. This in return comes in the form of the inflammation. If a missed signal to the brain takes place, the body ends up fighting a phantom problem in your body and causes your body more harm than good. From what I understand and what I've read, it starts attacking your actual body of the good stuff, because they haven't found the actual problem, so they come against the good stuff that's in there, and that's why you end up not actually finding the root. When this takes place, many decide not to look at the missed signal, but instead continues to chase after the phantom problem, which in return, you do not get any results. Why would you get a missed signal? This is one of the biggest questions I had a very hard time to get an answer to, and it seemed like everyone was stalling to give the answer in the hope that they would keep you interested in what they had to say, that they could sum up in a paragraph. It even seemed as if they would profit from keeping the answer a secret. So let's dig in a little deeper to see if we can get a few answers. Food. Food can be your worst enemy. It has been a problem with humans ever since the beginning. Satan did not tempt Eve with music, drugs, sex, money, or anything, any of the things you look at today as a big sin that is easy to see and to point out. Genesis 2:16-17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Genesis 3:1-7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yes, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruits of the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now I want to point out here that she added on to what God had originally said to her, which actually opened the door for Satan to be able to tell a lie and the seed to actually get planted. So I want to illustrate that you need to be very careful when God gives you a word, you're not adding to it or taking away from it, because that will open the door for the enemy to put an infection into your soul. But the tree of the fruit, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not die, for the God knows that in the day you eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and of it and ate, and gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You are not able to say that food problem became after the fall. Food was at the crime against God itself, and it was joined with other sin. Food became a gateway of sin, and as a sin, and it is rooted in disobedience. You will see that this is a repetitive pattern. Think about it. Food was one of the very first things that Satan used to tempt Jesus. He was not only tempting Jesus with food, but also using it to try to get Jesus to disobey God. Satan was still and is still using the same tactics, because the enemy knows the damage that can come from it and how a food problem causes an infection, not just in the physical sense, but in a spiritual one. When Eve ate of the fruit that was forbidden, it caused a huge infection in her relationship with God, and including Adam in her sin, which became contagious and spread. We do this to our families when we make the decision not to pay attention to what our bodies need. They pay for it along with the one with the problem. Adam and Eve realized that they were naked, which became their inflammation as they scrambled to make something to cover themselves with. It was the trigger that gave them away that there was a problem. God did not chastise them for being covered or naked. He chastised them on the root of the problem. Disobedience for eating the fruit, their desire to know all that God knew, and to ignore what God told them simply not to eat. and this brought a broken trust between them and God. The consequence for this was destructive by getting kicked out of Eden and all mankind falling under the curse that Jesus later on had to come to break. And it continues with food with Adam and Eve's children, and it brought on the first murder. But this time the blood told on the problem. Genesis 4:10. The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Just as today you can get a blood test done and it can pinpoint issues to the root of a problem that your physical eyes cannot see. Sometimes, not all the time, you will hear phrases of, "Oh, that doctor doesn't know what he's talking about," and any excuses to come against what they found. Now, believe me, there are some doctors that truly do not know what they're talking about and are shady. But putting that aside, if we are really truthful, most of the time we say it because we didn't want to hear the answer to what could potentially be wrong with us. We do not want to do the work to correct an issue. We get to the place where we want to hear the truth, or we must get to the place where we want to hear the truth so that God can heal us how he so chooses, and we must do our part in this. And the list goes on and on with food issues that cause not only problems with the body, but with the relationship and walk with God. Food has become a desire, delight, and a want more so than a need. It becomes something that is overindulged in, an idol, a craving to fill a void instead of understanding the void and what is really supposed to be filled with. It becomes a desire of the flesh, which will pull you out of walking in the spirit quickly. This is why fasting is so vital to your spiritual walk with God. You are crucifying the flesh, cleaning out your body, and bringing discipline to yourself. There are so many benefits to this, but Psalms 35:13 says, "I humble my soul with fasting." If you could use food to fill in the voids, it becomes a temporary fix to take place of a bigger problem. The enemy knows this and will use this to his advantage to get a strong hold on you. This is why you need to seek God to also get an emotional healing of inflammation that comes by a cut in your soul. Some people have an addiction to eating their feelings. This is comfort that they find in food. When this takes place, the inflammation or infection becomes an open door for gluttony to take place in the person's life. They have put food before God to take care of a problem. And if there is a spirit of gluttony, it joins forces with a spirit or king that we are going to talk about soon, and their stronghold and their union becoming very strong within a person. The mindsets are powerful and can cause a person to need surgery spiritually and possibly physically due to the damage and union of these spirits if it is not dealt with. We become out of balance by not being disciplined as we ought to be, and on top of that, we ignore the Holy Spirit, common sense, and we overlook what we know to be right by making excuses on why we do the things we do with food and what we eat and what we don't eat. How many times have you had the craving for something that you know you should not have because it does something to you, or you just know it will put on a few more pounds that you really don't want? The problem is you get reckless and decide you don't care at the moment. You could have very well ignored an alarm of the Holy Spirit and of your common sense, and have handed the enemy even more ammo to use against you. Our stomachs have a lot of control over us. If we do not keep it in check and balance, we're going to take a look at Esau. Esau was so ruled of his fleshly appetites, he sold his birthright for a meal, one morsel of food. Hebrews 12:16-17. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. Our stomachs also control, our stomachs also much of what controls much of what goes on in your body. Between your mouth and your bottom, there are many organs and systems that are there to be able to keep your body in line. Think of it as a clock. There are so many gears inside a clock, each gear to its own purpose, but it has to work together in order to keep time. The same with your body. If something is not working right, it throws off the balance and the time, and it becomes out of line, and most of the time will bring some sort of inflammation on your body. So watching what goes into your mouth can help you become better developed in your own body as a whole. Your body needs specific things to work properly, and it's up to you to make sure you are getting it. Our bodies are temples of God. It is a vessel that God is God to use and dwell in. It is up to us to take care of it to the best of our ability and not to the best of our comfort zone or how much we want to put in it. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you received from God? You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. As we are uniquely made, each one of our bodies adjusts to different foods at different times. There are multiple times in the Bible where God gives instruction to different people and what could best benefit from as a need instead of a want. It was to bring structure and discipline to both their physical and spiritual bodies. And if you think about it, that's another reason why we have seasons. There's different times in the seasons that we may need different foods for different reasons. A person who has an issue with inflammation with the intestines would tell you that they would find times that they would eat something that would bring an inflammation and other signs that would let them know that they ate or done something wrong. Food is not the only reason for inflammation of the intestines, but it is something to keep an eye on. And if you see the certain food cause you an issue, stop eating it. It sounds simple, but really think about it. If you haven't done this, you probably know someone who has refused to not stop eating it and later complained about it. Someone who has problem with food, there's a root to that problem. If the root is not taken care of, neither will the food issues. All things need to be looked at as a whole, the spiritual, physical, emotional, and what is going on in the mind, whether it be a bad habit, tradition, or hereditary. So if we are following just symptoms of these things, then the root is being left alone, and we will be forever chasing it because it is not going to go away. This is why most doctors have made so much money and will be one of the few careers that will always have a demand for. Now, studying the inflammation of the intestines, the Holy Spirit led us based on what we have learned from Katie Souza and what God has revealed to her about kings, demons, being inside your soul that gives you the legal right for the inflammation to be there. And we're going to watch a 5-minute video of Katie Souza that's going to explain the beginning part, and then we're going to talk about the actual king, and then we're going to talk about how to get rid of it.
This is Healing Your Soul with Katie Souza. Real keys to the miraculous.
In these programs, we've been talking about demonic kings. What are those? They're the strong men that Jesus talked about in Matthew 17. He said, if we want to thoroughly ransack the strong man's house, we must first bind the strong man. See, there are strong men in the kingdom of darkness. They're the higher ranking officers. And underneath them in their house are the spirits that we usually battle on a daily basis, you know, the unclean spirits, spirits of infirmity, deaf and dumb spirits, spirits of perversion, spirits of lust, those spirits that we rebuke every day, spirits of rejection. Those spirits are actually in the house underneath a strong man. And if you want to get rid of those spirits, if you want to thoroughly ransack the house, you must first find the strong man. Well, Satan is the strong man, but you know, Satan is not omnipresent like God. He cannot be every place at once. So he has to have other strong men underneath him so that they can be spread out around the globe and be on assignment to attack, harass, and torment mankind. Now, the Bible talks about who these strong men are in Ephesians 6:12 in the Amplified Bible. It says that actually the ranks that are in this army of the kingdom of darkness. It says when you read it that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against despots, powers, and master spirits. If you look up the word despot, because that's the top of the list, that's the strong man, and then the other spirits are the ones underneath him in his house. If you look up the word despot, it means a tyrant king, a tyrant king. See, we are wrestling against kings and their kingdoms. And that makes complete sense. It's totally biblical because if you read throughout the Bible is full of stories, endless battles and wars of Israel having to fight evil kings. Evil kings. I mean, just to take the promised land alone, they had to fight 31 kings in their kingdoms. Now, every one of those kings that God's people battled were pagan kings. They worshipped idols. And the Bible's very clear that an idol is just not a statue made out of stone or wood or gold. That it's a spirit, a demonic entity. Those pagan kings worship demonic spirits. So remember what the scripture says, that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with despots. See, Israel, when they were fighting these kings in the natural, they were really fighting despot king spirits in the supernatural. The spirits that backed up those kings that they were fighting in the natural realm. Amen? Where they get passed down, they get carried from generation to generation in the soul. How does that happen? It happens in the womb. In the womb. When you are conceived in the womb, the mother's presence, your mother's presence is there. Your father's presence is there, right? So both the family line is there, and everything they had in their souls that they got from their mothers and their fathers is passed down to you in the womb. Now, how do I know that for sure? Look up the word womb in the Strong's Dictionary in the New Testament. And one of the meanings is the place where a fetus is conceived and nurtured until birth. But the other meaning of the word womb is this. Listen, the soul. In the womb that these wounds get passed down to your soul. Amen? That's why you're not just dealing with stuff that you had happen in your own life. You are dealing with stuff that happened in your family life. And you're wondering why things are going wrong. Because you're not just dealing with this short span of time. You're dealing with generations past. But now that we understand that these things are carried in the soul, you know that scientifically, researchers are now actually finding proof, it's just on the brink of it, that our DNA not only carries the code that determines our hair color and our eye color and our predisposition to illnesses, but that our DNA carries ancient memories from our ancestors. It actually carries those memories in its genetic code. What's in the womb when you're conceived? Your mother's DNA and your father's DNA. Amen. When dunamis causes us to be excellent in our soul, then we're going to get healed of all those wounds inside of our soul that are allowing curses to land on us, and we'll be free of every curse.
So as she was explaining this, you have to really need to find out what main demon is behind the infirmity or issue that you're having. And the Holy Spirit had led us to one of those that particularly had to deal with inflammation of the intestines. And as I go through this, Brother Christopher, can you hand out the two handouts? This will be for, one is a healing article that I came across that I really think you all will enjoy. There's prayers in there that will help you. And then there's another one that will actually be the notes of how to take care of the spirit we're about to speak about. Inflammation of the gut can come in through sin, a curse by the enemy, hereditary, generational, or marital. But it is also a curse by God through a sin. And through these things, it gives a legal right to the enemy, placing a demon attached to it. It is not always about food. This is where we need to take a look at the spiritual side of this and get that part evaluated and see what the root of it is that will lead to a healing in that area. Let's take a look at King Jehoram and see what he had in common with the inflammation of the intestines. 2 Chronicles 21:12-20 in the Message Bible. One day he got a letter from Elijah the prophet. It read, "From God, the God of your ancestors David, a message. Because you have not kept the ways of Jehoshaphat your father and Isa your grandfather, kings of Judah, but you have taken up the ways of the kings of Israel in the north, leading Judah and Jerusalem away from God, going step by step down the apostate path of Ahab and his crew. Why, you even killed your own brothers, all of them better men than you. God is going to afflict your body, your wives, your son, and everything you have with a terrible plague. And you're going to come down with a terrible disease of the colon, painful and humiliating." The trouble started with an invasion. God incited the Philistines and the Arabs who lived under the Ethiopians to attack Jehoram. They came to the border of Judea, forced their way in, and plundered the place, robbing the royal palace of everything in it, including his wives and son. One son, his youngest, was left behind. The terrible and fatal disease in his colon followed. After about 2 years, he was totally incontinent and died writhing in pain. His people did not honor him by lighting a great bonfire as a customary with his ancestors. He was 32 years old when he became king and reigned for 8 years in Jerusalem. There was no tears shed when he died. He was good riddance, and they buried him in the city of David, but not in the royal cemetery. To understand the sickness that was talked about here, something like what God cursed King Jehoram with was what some known as chronic inflammation, which is connected to infirmities like Crohn's disease. This happens when your body's immune system mistakenly attacks the healthy bacteria in your gut and causes inflammation that sticks around, which we spoke of earlier, of missed signals and phantom illnesses. Besides the inflammation, you can also suffer from symptoms such as belly pain, cramping, and diarrhea. The word says that his death was a painful death, so you can imagine the torment that these spirits can cause upon a person or you if you have this issue. If you read all of 2 Chronicles 21, you will see that King Jehoram had killed all of his brothers, turned from God, and built shrines of idols in the mountains of Judea. He was a king that was married to Ahab and Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah. This on its own brought many problems. Because he was disobedient to God and inherited the ways of his wife's parents and ended up bringing idol worship into Judea and seducing them to follow his gods. This is why he ended up with the curse. You know, we are always looking at our ancestors and seeing what needs to be broken off, but we tend to forget that we also have to break off the ancestor curses that we may have inherited by becoming one with your spouse. You also will want to seek God's face and allow him to reveal to you anything else you may have inherited from anyone you have sexually become intimate with or have become sexually intimate with. Let him be honest with you so that you can become completely healed. If you don't, then the healing will not manifest in its fullness and quickness as God intended. But because this king would not turn from his ways and continue the same ways that King Ahab had gone and the kings before them, King Jehoram ended up meeting God's wrath. And on top of that, God cursed him with the inflammation of the stomach and that they would fall out. God put on him was a visible symptom of what the curse because of introducing idol worship in Judea. Now, later on this evening, we're going to be learning about idols and different ways that you can actually have idols that you would not even think about. And then at the end, there's going to be a prayer to get the idols off your soul. And then there's also, it was going to fall right into the prayer of actually getting rid of the inflammation. King Jehoram decided to bring others into his sin and infected the land of Judah. God seen this and caused an inflammation of sickness to come upon him so that God could bring the healing process, which would include later on removing another sickness, Athaliah. We see this happen in deliverances as well as healings. We need to see that God will deal with things in a specific order as we listen to him and allow each thing to be dealt with completely. Obedience is the key in this area. The same goes with infections and diseases, such as these and physical sicknesses. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to God, he will give you the instructions you need to pull you out of the inflammation, identifying the real problem and how to remove it. But you must first be attentive and open to receive. To bring balance into what you are consuming in your body, you need to be doing it to the glory of God. So when you pray over your food, you should invite God's glory, his presence, into the food so it can be digested correctly, and you will be able to be further equipped to fight temptations. You should be open to hear if God says to eat it or to not eat it and trust that there is a reason. God is not a harsh taskmaster that is constantly hitting us over the head because he wants to. He is a loving father who only wants what is best for his children. All his instruction and guidance as well as discipline is for our good always. His word says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalms 84:11. So if God withholds something from us, it's because it is not good. It is proven in the word that God can and will protect us from inflammation of any attack and keep the root of this issue from taking root in us. Acts 28:4-6. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, and this is Paul that we're talking about, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer, for he escapes from the sea, and the goddess justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up and suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their mind and said he was a god. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever therefore you eat or drink, and whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. The importance of getting the inflammation in the intestines taken care of is so that you can see the root of the problem when the inflammation is gone and complete healing can take place. So how do I do it? First, we need to sort out our differences with God, acknowledging our offenses, whatever it may be, and let him remove all ungodly desires of the flesh for food from us and show us what needs to be done and come to grips with it. You start by entering into worshiping our Father and bringing down his glory and opening your heart to the truth. As you do this, you are opening up yourself to receive his love. You release the dam of the living water into your soul and break any walls that will try to block the healing about to take place. You ask the angels to be there to assist you and to protect you from any and all attacks of the enemy. Then you ask for the Matthew 10 anointing or to activate the Matthew 10 anointing if you have already received it. What is the Matthew 10 anointing? Matthew 10:1. Jesus called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. The rest of the chapter, Jesus gives them specific instructions on what to expect and what to do and not to do. This anointing is not just for others. This anointing needs to start inside of you so that you don't have common ground with anyone you're laying hands on, praying for, or go to set free in Jesus' name. 3 John 1:2-4. Beloved, I pray that your soul in all things, that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Your soul shall prosper and become completely healed as you step out in the truth of Jesus Christ and do what he has asked you to do. Declare and decree the scripture to be spoken into your soul as a seed to take root as the healing takes place. Call upon the light and the glory of God to come down and shine on your soul, exposing all sin, curses, and any issues that need to be dealt with so that this healing can take place. And the light and glory will dispel any doubt or unbelief and will amplify your faith. Now, it's very important to understand there's a difference between the light and the glory. The glory is the presence of God. The light is when it comes in to dispel the darkness, to show, and you know, what things that could be hidden. You know, as you take a flashlight, you turn it on, the darkness goes away. But when God's presence comes, that's him coming straight into the situation that you're calling him into. After this, you need to repent for your sins and ask that the blood of Jesus, his sacrifice at the cross, to cover your sins and wash them away. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you the sins you have committed, sins that your generations have committed. Let God show you what is really going on and allow the truth to bring healing and freedom. Yes, some of the truth is going to hurt. Think of it when you have an open cut and it needs to be cleaned. It stings. I remember as a child and getting a cut, and my grandmother and mother would spray something on our cuts to clean it. As a child, I would actually cry before it was done because I knew it would hurt. But so it did not get infected and nothing was left behind, they applied it to our wounds. And in a matter of seconds applying the bandage, we were all good. God our Father is the same way. As you allow him to reveal the truth as an ointment to the wound and stitch up the very big ones, you will see that the pain will go away as the infection is being drawn out. God will show you things that have happened to you that you do not remember. God will show you things that your parents have done and those before you. He will show you if there's any foreign objects or attachments to these wounds. These things are stuff such as demons, soul fragments, soul invaders, altars, broken parts of your soul that needs to be stitched back together, etc. It's very, very important that you keep yourself open to whatever God reveals to you is in there. If one thing's left behind, that soul cannot be completely healed, and the enemy can come back and reopen it all over again. He will show you what emotional healings need to take place. Just let him take care of all the things that the inflammation has been trying to protect you from, and healing spiritually and physically can take place. Allow him to close the wounds. Ask Jesus to seal it with the dunamis power of Jesus Christ, the resurrection power that brings new life to your soul. Allow your soul to be saturated in this anointing so that complete healing can take place. Command your white blood cells to function properly and that all missed signals cease in the name of Jesus. And any unclean blood in your system is replaced with the blood of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Command your emotions to become into balance and your soul be fed the fruits of the Spirit. Command that joy bubbles up in your heart and is activated as medicine to your heart to be pumped into the bloodstream and even into your soul and assist the healing taking place, which is in Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Then you call upon the exousia anointing to become activated of Mark 6:7. The exousia anointing is anointing that releases Christ's authority when you say the name of Jesus. It is a muscle that kicks the demons out of your life once your soul is healed by the dunamis power. The ecstasy anointing, dunamis anointing, is what Jesus gave the disciples to drive out demons and to heal the sick. Place your hands on your stomach and command the spirit, King Jehoram, to attach to it any of his kind and kingdom and all those under his authority together and leave in the name of Jesus. Destroy every idol that he has built inside of you, and any unclean thing that is of him must leave in the name of Jesus. Attach to him the curse of inflammation of the intestines and any other inflammation of the body that is it is in control of, and it must leave also in the name of Jesus. And anything else the Holy Spirit leads you to do with the removal of this spirit. Then command the spirits of disobedience to God, disobedience, deception, gluttony, and anything else God reveals to you to leave in the name of Jesus. Command every idol to be removed and place God back into its rightful place as first in your life. Command your body to become lined up with the word of God, and then healing takes place, and any root of infection, infirmity that the inflammation was a symptom for, to reveal itself and then deal with the root. Spend time with God and allow him to reveal everything that is going on. Do not think this is a quick fix, but as you press in, you will feel a release and know it is done. When you feel the release, then thank God that he is making your soul excellent in him, and that the healing is complete and your body is made whole, and then stand on your healing. The one thing that I did learn through going through this is that you must press in. You can't do some 5-minute prayer and expect it to happen. Many times through listening to different things Katie Souza has talked about, something so 3-4 hours, but you must press through until you get the breakthrough. I know there were some where she actually took days, took weeks. So this morning, God wants you to get the anointing of a king killer, where you can literally destroy the kings of your soul, the king demons of your soul. Now we're going to listen to Katie Souza's prayer and allow it to take root into your bosom. And then when it is over, you can come up to the front and receive the anointing. Father, we thank you for everything that you have done. We thank you, Father, that your angels have come to assist, for your anointing to be downloaded into your people. Father, we thank you that the enemy cannot stop this anointing from taking place inside your people. And Father, we speak to every bit of inflammation to anybody's body right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that it must totally submit to the name of Jesus Christ, and it must uproot itself as this takes place, and it must leave each and every person in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the knowledge that you have given us this morning. Father, we ask you that it takes deep root into our souls. Father, we thank you that you are going to water it and you're going to allow it to grow much fruit that we can give to others. And Father, we ask you also to send an angel to embrace Pastor Barbara right now. Father, you know what's going on. And we ask you just to allow your presence to completely saturate her and let her be filled and give her the strength to do everything that she needs to do today, Father. And Father, we thank you that you will be with each and every person as they leave. And we just give you all honor and all glory. And we thank you that you have showed up today. And we thank you for everything you're going to continue to do in the name of Jesus.
Right now, I want you to pull in your faith. I feel electricity flowing up my legs right now. I'm going to release the anointing into the atmosphere right now. And we're going to sit here and worship, and I want you to pull on it. I want you to pull on it right now. Because there is not one, listen to me, there is not one single person in here that's not going to get it. Not one. Not one. Everybody in here is going to get it. Because Jesus needs a kingdom army to go out and free the world. You are that army. You have to have the anointing to go. There's no way you can do it without it. So I want you to believe. I want you to use your faith and believe and pull on it. We're just going to sit and release into this atmosphere. And if you feel something, stand up and worship it even more. If you don't, guess what? You're getting it anyway. Team up front. Oh, I heard some demons going, stop that. Stop it. Don't give it to them. I heard them say that right now. They said, stop it. Don't give it. Okay, my ears are burning right now. My ears are burning. It's being released right now into the atmosphere right now. I release the Matthew 10 anointing right now. The anointing that drives out demons and heals the sick. Right now, Jesus gave it to his disciples. But then, even more so, he gave it to 70 people who didn't even hang around him on a regular basis, who were like in the outer circle, that they didn't even have as much characteristic or as grooming or practice or discipleship as the other ones. But yet, Jesus gave it to them anyway, because he wants everybody to have it. Everybody to have it. Everybody to have it. We all need it. We can't not have it. I command it to be released into this atmosphere right now in the name of Jesus. I command that it land, that it land, that it land on these people right now, that it empower them, that it empower every part of their being right now, that they be filled with the power and the presence. See, because the anointing is Jesus. It's Him. It's His power. It's the power from on high that He was endued with by the Father God. I just thank you that you're going to release the power. Release the power right now. These people are hungry. They're hungry for it. Hungry for it. Pulling with their faith on it. Pulling with their faith. They're believing that they're receiving it now. That they're going to go forth and they're going to have signs and wonders happen. Signs and wonders are going to come out. Signs and wonders are going to come out. Signs and wonders are going to come out because they're receiving the anointing, the power to drive out demons, to heal the sick, the King Killer anointing. King Killer anointing.
The altar is open to receive that anointing, to drive out King Killer demon, to drive them out of people's souls. And also to receive the Matthew 10 anointing, to be able to heal the sick and to cast out spirits.